Welcome to Non-Hodgkin's Lymphoma Update and our second special patient education edition. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. For 18 years, our cancer education group in Miami has been producing audio programs for doctors and nurses, and more recently, we began producing programs for patients. This audio program is also available for easy downloading off the internet at www.nhlupdate.com/patients. And now for our program. The traditional way that doctors in training learn about medicine is by making rounds with their professors and after meeting patients with them to listen and question the experts on issues raised by different cases. For this program, we took a similar approach and visited the community-based oncology practice of Dr. Lowell Hart in Fort Myers, Florida. Dr. Hart arranged for me to meet and interview three patients with lymphoma from his practice, and I then interviewed both Dr. Hart and clinical researcher Dr. Rick Hagemeister from MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston to also comment on these cases. We begin with Dr. Hart, who presents a summary of the first case.
He's a gentleman in his mid-70s who's been in previously pretty good health. I actually knew him slightly because he attends the same church as I go to. And he was referred to me by his gastroenterologist, having been just diagnosed with what was felt to be a gastric lymphoma.
And that's lymphoma in the stomach.
That's correct. This is an area where non-Hodgkin's lymphoma can certainly show up. It can be seen in almost any part of the body. And in the intestinal tract, that's one of the more common places to have it show up.
And he told me he had some symptoms, I guess indigestion or GI symptoms, that caused him to see the gastroenterologist.
That's generally what happens. People have what they think are heartburn or gastric reflux symptoms or those sort of things. So that's why in the commercials they often say if you have persistent heartburn, see your physician.
What did the gastroenterologist see in the stomach?
He saw what appeared to be something similar to an ulcer. So a lot of times these tumors can present with an ulcer-like appearance.
And then he took a biopsy.
Yes, so he took a biopsy through the endoscope, which is the flexible scope that they insert down into the stomach. And that showed that this was a B-cell type non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It was a type called a diffuse large cell lymphoma, which is probably the most common type to be seen in the stomach.
And when you did your initial evaluation of him, what were some of the things that you were looking for in terms of the history that you got from him and your physical examination?
Well, certainly we always want to ask the patient how they're feeling, if they've lost weight, if they're having fevers, if they're having sweats at night. Those sort of symptoms can be symptoms that the lymphoma is not as localized as you might have expected. So he did not have any of those symptoms. He then had some scans performed to see whether there was any evidence of any lymphoma anywhere else. It's very important in staging the lymphoma to know if it is showing up anywhere else.
So staging is looking to see where else in the body the lymphoma might be present.
That's correct, because the stage differentiates between lymphomas that are in one lymph node group, two lymph node groups, outside of a lymph node group, or if it's disseminated throughout the body. And they all have a slightly different prognosis.
And what were the diagnostic staging tests that you did on him?
We did CAT scans on him at the time. At that time, we were not routinely doing what are called PET scans, which are called positron emission scans that are now commonly done. So we've done some on him since that time. But those two scans are the mainstay, really, of the staging of lymphomas.
What about a bone marrow biopsy?
Yes, he did have a bone marrow biopsy at the time of diagnosis, which is also done most of the time in lymphomas, because obviously these cancers start from lymphoid cells, and those cells usually originate in the bone marrow. So it is common in some types of lymphoma to have involvement of the bone marrow. It's not as common in the type that he had. And there are ways now to look at the bone marrow very closely with techniques like a flow cytometry, which is putting some of the cells through a machine so you can pick out one or two cancer cells out of many normal cells.
And so when you did all those tests, did you find anything outside of his stomach?
We didn't find anything outside of his stomach.
And what were you thinking at that point in terms of treatment?
Well, I was thinking he was clearly going to need treatment with chemotherapy. And usually now for these B-cell lymphomas, we add the antibody treatment Rituxan in. That's clearly been shown to improve the response and is used almost universally now. I told him that since his tumor appeared for the most part to be localized, although I could certainly not say 100%, that I thought he had a reasonable prognosis from this with some treatment, that I would be planning on giving him some chemotherapy and perhaps consolidating the treatment with some radiation just to the involved region of the stomach at the completion of the chemotherapy.
Can you talk a little bit about, in terms of gastric lymphoma, the connection between that and infection?
Right. It has been found that especially in the lower grade types of gastric lymphoma, sometimes you can see it in the more aggressive ones like my patient too, but there's a lower grade type that's called a mucosa-associated lymphoid tumor, and that's the MALT type lymphoma, which is not only seen in the stomach, but it is described often in the stomach, and that is a very low-level type of malignancy. It seems like it sort of comes about as almost a reaction to inflammation or infection that's kind of gotten a little bit out of control. You know, in most lymphomas, we don't really understand exactly what the cause is, but it's, I think when we understand more, it may be that an infection or some reaction to an infection may be behind a lot of lymphomas. It's just not all worked out yet. But I think certainly in these low-level gastric lymphomas, they're very frequently associated with Helicobacter, which also seems to cause quite a bit of the peptic ulcer disease that's around. And interestingly, the first treatment that's generally used now is to try to eradicate this Helicobacter with the use of antibiotics. So there's sort of a triple antibiotic package that the gastroenterologists use. And that's generally speaking the first treatment that's done. And sometimes if you eradicate the infection, the lymphoma goes away. Not always, but so usually the first treatment now, unless it's very extensive or very deeply involved, if it's the usual type that we see, would be to treat the patient with antibiotics and then have them get their endoscope with the flexible scope repeated and repeat biopsy done. And if everything's gone, then they're done. If it's not, then you can go on to other treatments. Occasionally, it's also very sensitive to radiation therapy. So radiation can be used. And occasionally, I've sometimes given some Rituxan. Not everyone does, but I've sometimes given some Rituxan along with the radiation for that.
And what kind of chemotherapy did you recommend?
Since he was an older gentleman, I gave him a modification of the standard CHOP chemotherapy, which has Cytoxan, Adriamycin, the H is for Adriamycin from the chemical name for it, Oncovin or Vincristine, and Prednisone, which is a cortisone-like drug, plus the Rituxan antibody. In his case, because he was an older gentleman and had, I thought, some risk factors for cardiac disease, I substituted another drug called Mitoxantrone, which is in the same general class as Adriamycin, but is kind of a kinder and gentler form. It does not damage the veins, it does not cause the hair loss or as many of the side effects. It may be, in some studies, slightly less efficacious. So if he had shown evidence of having a very widespread, very aggressive lymphoma, I probably would have given him the CHOP anyway. But I made a judgment in his case that he could still have a reasonable chance of being cured with a slightly less aggressive treatment.
And when you're talking about the heart, I guess the concern is that specifically the Adriamycin can, in some, I guess, very unusual situations, damage
right.
the heart.
That's correct. You don't want to be using Adriamycin in someone who has pre-existing heart failure or has a very weak heart to start with. As far as we know, it does not usually cause heart attacks or those sort of anginal symptoms, but it can weaken the heart if it's been given for many doses. Usually the short course that we would use in lymphoma treatment at the start is usually not enough to do that.
So what was the schedule of how often he got the chemotherapy and the Rituxan?
He got the chemotherapy once every 3 weeks and got his Rituxan once every 3 weeks also. He got a total of 4 cycles of the chemotherapy. And after that, I referred him to the radiation oncologist. He had looked to be in good condition at that point. And my feeling was, since this appeared to be, for the most part, a localized process, that I would feel comfortable with then moving away from the chemotherapy and letting him have radiation to the involved part of the stomach, which he indeed tolerated very well. He got about 4,000 rad or centigrade. That's just a dosage term for radiation therapy. And that would kind of be a consolidation dose for lymphomas. Lymphomas are very sensitive in general to radiation therapy.
So I know in general with cancer treatment, you give a treatment and then you try to figure out whether it's helped. And I guess in his situation, the main thing you had to judge was doing the endoscopy where the gastroenterologist looks down into the stomach to actually see this. Did he have that repeated?
Yes, he had that repeated, and that has remained clear since that time. So he had the endoscopy repeated.
And at that point, there was no evidence of the tumor?
That's correct. There was no evidence of the tumor.
How did he tolerate the chemotherapy? How did he tolerate the Rituxan? And how did he tolerate the radiation therapy?
He tolerated everything quite well overall. He did complain of some fatigue, just a general sense of tiredness. And he'd been a very active gentleman, you know, sings in the choir at church and is very active with his wife. And they go out to do lots of senior activities and go out to eat frequently. So he curtailed quite a bit of that during his treatment, but he has since then snapped back to pretty much of his normal self. He tolerated the radiation therapy quite well. They did give him a bit of some anti-nausea medication. Radiation will not cause nausea unless you're radiating the stomach. And since he was getting his stomach radiated, he had a bit of nausea from that, but it just responded to the usual anti-nausea medication.
How did you observe him and his wife cope with this emotionally as this moved forward?
It was a stress on them, but they were very close couple, and I think they sort of went through it together. And his wife tends to be even a little bit more, she worries a lot for him because he's a very stoic Midwesterner type, not a complainer, and just sort of goes with the punches. And, you know, one of the doctor's favorite type patients who just says, you know, do the best you can for me, doc. I know I have something serious and try your best. His wife got a little bit more anxious than he did, I think, over how he was going to do with treatments. He's an inspiring patient, especially since he is a gentleman who got this when he was in his mid-70s. And it's proof that there's, you know, no matter what age you are, if you have a reasonable quality of life, it's worthwhile preserving that. And hopefully he'll have many more years of being able to contribute to the community. He just has a wonderful inner strength. He is, as I said, a person of faith, and perhaps that has something to do with it. But he just is a positive person. He does have a lot more strength, I think, and I don't even have a clue if I was in the same position as he was put into all of a sudden, if I would deal with it as well as he did. So,
it must be rewarding for you as a physician to see him come back with his wife and see him in church and see them out and active and doing well.
It's very, very, very rewarding. I certainly would know it if he was not doing well because I see him almost every Sunday. So, but it is very nice to see him.